Welcome to the Extension Connection Podcast. The Grant County Cooperative Extension Service is here to help connect you with research-based information about economic development, energy and water, farm and ranch, yard and garden, natural resources, health and well-being, and our very popular youth development program, 4-H. I'm your host, Jessica, the 4-H and Ag Agent in Grant County, New Mexico. We are a part of New Mexico State University's College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Science, and we are here to provide you with reliable, research-based information and education. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. On this episode, you're going to hear Ty Bays, who's a local here in Grant County, New Mexico. His kids showed through the 4-H and FFA programs here locally, and now he serves as the Grant County Fair Board President, and he has been incredibly helpful in terms of all things in the show cattle industry. He's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve, and really they're not tricks, they're just kind of common sense things, but I finally got him to sit down with me, and we had a pretty good visit on some things that are kind of relevant to 4-H families, FFA families that have show cattle projects, and what they should probably be working on right now, or things that are coming up in the future. So I hope you enjoy this, and we'll catch you on the next one. Okay, I've invited Mr. Ty Bays to be on the podcast today. We're going to talk a little bit about show cattle. And as far as show cattle go, Ty Bays has helped me probably more than anyone. I can call him and ask him. I can send him pictures, all kinds of things. And he's able to tell me, you know, real world advice on how to fix a certain problem or make some adjustments to make these cattle better. So I appreciate you being on here and helping everybody out.
Sure.
So, it's springtime. Everybody's got their calves pretty much in the barn, what they're going to have. What is there specifically in the springtime that people need to be paying attention to and doing?
Okay, well, so hopefully you've already got your steer broke. If you haven't by now, you've got a big steer and a lot of work ahead of you. But, so these cattle are going to eat really good until probably May 1st, May 15th. So right now you've got, 30 days left, maybe 45 at most before it gets hot to really put some gain on them. Our goal, you know, and things are changing. I know these cattle are changing a little bit from when we showed, but our goal was always to have one weighing at least 1,000 pounds by May 1st. So that gives you basically all summer to get that additional 300 to 400 pounds on, and they will quit eating. When it gets hot, they're getting up the size, they're you know, getting fat now, they're gonna quit eating. So right now, crowd them. If you're not gonna make that 1,000 pounds, you can, you know, this is your opportunity to get there.
And why is that, that they go off of feed?
It's just the heat. Mm-hmm. You know, the ruminant animals, and they create a lot of heat internally, digesting their food on top of the outside temperature. They just quit.
It's kind of like in the summer, whenever it's like really super hot and you just kind of don't feel like eating because it's so freaking hot.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, And we always like to, of course, it's the end of the jackpot season. We've already been to jackpots. We've got them broke. They pretty much know how to show. Kind of like to give them a break this last 30 to 45 days. Let them just eat and grow and fatten up. If you got one that's too fat, you know, I wouldn't get too worried about it at this point in time. He's gonna trim down too. So feed, you know, they probably need to be eating 25 to maybe 30 pounds a day of feed. You know, we go into the cool room. We always did about June 1st, June 15th. one trick that we learned, and we learned it later, but we like to do, we got where we just fed at night, just one feeding a day. They come out of the cool room, you work the hair, they feel good, they're hungry, and they'll go engorge themselves, which will help drop that belly and drop that flank. You know, it's coming summertime. It's hard to get the kids out there at 5 o'clock in the morning and feed, which we used to do. They don't want to eat. It's starting to warm up. So we just quit feeding in the morning and fed everything they needed at night.
You just give them all night to eat it?
Yeah.
If they leave anything over, you just pick it up in the morning, or do you?
Yeah. That leads into, I know you're going to ask me about coccidiosis. So, you know, you got birds, and your animals have coccidius in them. They just do. Mm-hmm. And they continue to get reinfected. And if you leave feed in that feed trough, birds are going to come and eat it. They're going to defecate in there. You're going to reinfect them, which a lot of things can trigger, you know, coccidiosis to flare up. Stress, a reinfection, or another infection of it. I mean, clean those feed pans out, get rid of that feed, throw it away, just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Keep your water troughs. If you got a trough to float, turn it off and get a bucket and pour it out every 3 or 4 days and wash it out real good.
Mm-hmm. I like to have a scrub brush right there by the water. And we don't have ours on a float, so then it forces you to have to fill it up every so often.
Exactly.
So, yeah, go out there and give that thing a good scrub and rinse it out really good. And then that kind of helps, and that's probably like an every other day, every 2-3 days type of process, you know, depending on how many head you have. But definitely makes a big difference. One of the bigger things that I think across the board people don't realize is that feed intake is directly related to water intake. Mm-hmm. If these cattle aren't drinking water, especially in the summer, they're definitely not going to eat.
Yeah.
So, and nobody wants to drink nasty bird poop water.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on skipping a feeding? There's people that will, you know, skip a feeding just to keep them hungry. What do you think about that?
I've heard of people doing that. You know, if we get one that flared up with coccidiosis, yeah, I'm for that. Just put them back on hay. Start treating them. Skip the feed for maybe a feeding or maybe even two. Put them on hay. Kind of let their belly reset. These cattle are designed to eat grass, hay. I liked oat hay. I really liked that the best. I know that's hard to get. You can feed grass hay, but yeah. I've heard of people doing it. We never did it just to do it, but if they got sick, or maybe if we had one that didn't eat good, you know what? Pull him off. Put him back on hay. Maybe there may be something going on in his belly that you don't know and can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of reset him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a horrible thing to do.
Yeah. What about worming, delousing?
So you should have wormed them with the Ivomec injectable or any kind of injectable to get rid of internal parasites. We don't have a real problem with that here, the roundworms and whatnot. Now, these cattle coming in here from wherever you bought them absolutely could have it.
Mm-hmm.
They probably do have lice. I mean, lice really thrive in the winter on these cattle. And I always like to pour them with you know, a pour on, and you pick your poison. They all, I think, work. Now that you're done with the jackpots, I'd wait probably till about May 1st, pour them, and that will help them shed out hair. And then probably by the 15th of May, go get you a curry comb and just get all that hair off. You've got to get that old hair out so they can grow new hair. Get them just as slick as you can. You may have to go over them 2 or 3 times. And that includes the brisket, the belly, everywhere. Get it out. One year we even shaved our steers down.
Mm-hmm.
We did it by the moon, and I don't know. You know what? It worked okay, but I don't think that's necessary. Just a good curry comb, shedding comb, get all that old hair out of them.
Mm-hmm. Just get them really slicked off, yeah. So that way they can put that new hair on. So I think the growth cycle on hair is about like 90 to 180 days or 150 days or something like that.
Yeah.
So that should put you pretty close to having a really good new set, new coat, yeah. You know, coming in right around our county fair, which is end of September.
Right.
Dandruff, that's a fun one.
So dandruff, you know, you can work that stuff out with the curry comb, mane and tail. You can mix that stuff up with water and just soak them with it. Let it set in them for 30 minutes. That'll help. You can add some vinegar to your soap, which will help get that dandruff out. And yeah, dandruff is bad because wherever there's dandruff really bad, you're not going to get the hair growth. And a lot of times that occurs, you know, up around the tail head, up and down the tail. I've seen it in the legs. If you got some really hairy cattle, I've seen dandruff, you know, their hindquarter, down, all the way down their legs. Comb that stuff, wash them. This time of year, you know, get them up, wash them once a week. You can treat them with that mane and tail. Wash them with, and you know, your good soap, whatever you use. Put some vinegar in it, and that'll help knock that dandruff out. Getting them slicked off as well.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out you got dandruff in that.
Yeah, it's kind of the nature of the beast, especially this time of year. I know a lot of times too, just working it, you know, really getting in there with your blower,
yeah,
and kind of like whipping that, I guess the skin, yeah, helps to kind of loosen it up, and even just kind of scratch it with your hand a little bit, just loosen it up and just get it off, yeah, of there. But then you've got to worry about, you know, trying to keep it from coming back. So, you know, making sure when we're washing or whatever products we're using that we're getting those, if they need to be washed out within 24 hours, it says that for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, or if we're going to shows and gluing and all this other stuff, we got to make sure that we really wash those calves,
yeah,
and get those products out so that way we don't have those problems. Another issue I see is cattle are like never dry. I always just tell people they're never dry.
Yeah.
They're never dry. Yeah. No matter how long you go, every kid never gets one.
Yeah.
Completely dry. And so I think keeping them dry, getting them really dry once you know, if you're going to only wash them once a week right now, it's important to spend some extra time and make sure that they're dry.
Yeah, that Revive works really well to kind of condition their skin, which will help get rid of dandruff. The thing is, if you put that in them, great, but you need to wash it out of them the next day. Otherwise, you're getting a bunch of oil in that hair, and that's clogging up their hair follicles. We love Revive. We used it a lot, but you've got to wash it out. You can't. We would use it once or twice a week, trying to get their skin healthy to grow hair, but you've got to wash it out. I like to put it on really in the morning, put them in the cool room. It's fairly clean in there. Theoretically,
mm-hmm,
it should be.
Yeah.
And then you wash it out that night. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On cool rooms. So, you know, I've heard, I mean, you can still do it without a cool room. You can do it with a cool room. Either way, for one, these cattle genetically have to be, you know, genetically inclined to have a lot of hair, for one. So that's the biggest thing. But, you know, elbow grease.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think, well, I have a cool room. I'll just, you know, I'm just going to throw them in the cool room. There's still got to be some elbow grease in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we had a cool room. It is crude. It is just a little adobe room. And for years, all we had was just a little window unit air conditioner. And, you know, I could keep it about 70 in there. Along with all the work, we always got good hair. We eventually got a good cooler that we could keep it down in the lower 60s, which it helped. It helps. But I know people that grow great hair and don't have a cooler. The main thing is get them out of the sun. The darker you can make that, the better. You know, what you're doing is you're faking that animal out and telling him that it's going into winter, and he starts making melatonin, thinking, hey, it's coming on to winter, the days are shorter, and they'll naturally go to growing hair. As dark as you can, as cool as you can. I know people that just tie them up in a three-sided barn, and they've gotten by with it pretty good. I mean, you know, a window unit, if you got a room, is not that expensive. I mean, you can go buy that at Ace for $400 or $500. Mm-hmm. And they'll last a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bed them in wood shavings, clean the manure out. That's another thing. If you do have a cool room, you know, about every 2 to 3 weeks, you need to get all of that wood shavings out, because the urine in there, and you'll know it when you open that door and it kind of takes your breath away, the ammonia smell.
And your eyes start to water.
And that ain't good for those animals to breathe that. Get it out. Clean it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know they make some products that are supposed to help kind of with that. I've never used any, so I wouldn't know, but, you know, I'm sure it's worth, you know, if you're listening to this, you could try it out and let us know.
Yeah. You know, with that, if you're going to work hair, work it every morning. Once you start, work it every morning and every night.
Mm-hmm.
Work. That's what makes hair.
And did you kind of start that, like, around that June 1st, June 15th time frame?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I think a couple things, like at my house, our water is, it's almost warm. I mean, it's really not that cold, even in the, you know, the wintertime, because we're on a spring. So a lot of times I'll just get a bunch of ice and put it in a bucket. And then whenever we get kind of done rinsing or whatever, that last little bit, dump that ice cold water on them from, you know, head to tail.
Yep.
And just let it sit for a minute, just to really try to take that body temperature back down. And I've kind of explained the body temperature thing is, if we're keeping their body temperature down, so if we take it down in the morning, it's going to have to, you know, come from a lower temperature and climb, you know, up. But if you're already starting at a high temperature, it's going to go even higher.
Yeah.
So that's why we take them down and then let them, you know, they're going to go up and then take them back down again. So that way we can try to, you know, stimulate some more hair growth on them. But if you're just, you know, pulling them in and expecting that they're still going to grow hair, it's really important to think about that body temperature.
Yeah.
And those types of things. And even, I think, just moving air, you know, if it's hot outside, even just moving air will help keep them, you know, cooler and things like that.
Sure.
How about prebiotics, probiotics?
You know, we've fed those over the years, but I, you know, I think if you got a good feed, and you know what, we kind of had a feed that we really liked, but I've seen people use, and we've fed it all. I mean, we've fed the Hypro, the Purina, the Lutric feed that Archer Daniel Midland makes. You know, they'll all work. If you, typically people go to thinking they need something to stimulate the diet, it's probably coccidiosis. I tell you, that is the toughest thing to deal with. And I hear people, am I steer bloated? Well, it's not from the feed, it's coccidiosis. Almost guarantee you, I can smell it in their breath now. I mean, I've been around it enough. I can tell when one is getting sick before he ever bloats. I mean,
I wish I had that skill.
Not to say that you can't bloat one on feed. I mean, you know, I had a lady that we were helping, and she ran out of feed, and she went and bought some, you know, five-way grain, horse grain, and fed it to the steer, and it bloated him and killed him. But, you know, if you're sticking to your feed and he's bloating or he's not eating good, I'll almost guarantee it's coccidiosis. And you've got to get aggressive treating that. Mm-hmm. So the prebiotics, I don't, you know, I never felt like they worked for us.
Right. So, right. Yeah. I mean, there's no telling. There may be some out there that are really good. I don't know that I can think of any offhand that, you know, I almost think sometimes I would feed like a pro bias, but honestly, I think I just, you know, it just made me feel better. Yeah. It made me feel like I was doing something. So, but yeah, that coccidiosis is a big deal. And I know we had a steer, you know, a year or so ago that got, he just bloated all the time. And it seems like, and that's what his problem was. And it was until I talked to you, we could not figure it out. We kept thinking it was his feed. It was this, it was that. And as soon as we started to treat him for coccidiosis, it quit happening as often. It seems like once they bloat once, then they're more likely to do it habitually over and over again.
Yeah.
So, we've always added about a handful of baking soda into our feed. What do you think about that?
You know, if you got one that's bloating and whatnot on you, you know, sure. I never fed that. I mean, I treated them for coccidiosis and got them over it, and we didn't have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, you're messing with the pH with that, and I'm not enough of a room nutritionist to understand, but you know, unless you're having problems, I don't think I'd do it.
So,
you know, back in the day, they told us to feed them Tide soap.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And you know what? It worked, but looking back, we had coccidiosis, and so we never fixed the problem.
Right.
We were just kind of treating the symptom.
Yeah.
But you know, what are you doing there? Are you messing up their metabolism with that? I don't know. I suspect maybe so.
Well, there for a while, weren't like a bunch of teenagers and kids and stuff eating Tide Pods?
Yeah.
I mean, so it can't be that great for you. I'm just kind of guessing, but I don't know. Oh, all the things. Mineral supplements, flexibility type supplements.
Yeah, most of these feeds have a pretty good mineral package in them, but when we put our cattle under stress, and I'll tell you, going into the cool room or just the act of starting to work with them twice a day, that puts a stress on them, and it can kick in coccidiosis. It can go to kicking in some joint and structural problems. I like that Replimin gel as good as anything, and when we just give them a dose of that a couple times a week. If I had one that was having some problems, we'd give it to him maybe three or four times a week. And I think that works really good. The joint supplements, there's a bunch of good ones out there. I'm sorry, the one that we ended up using a lot.
Is it Superflex?
Superflex, thank you. I thought that was the best one. And we fed it on top of the feed. Now, when we started catching them every day and working here, I like to put it in a drench, and I know they got it.
Right.
And I'd mix that with some water. I always like to give them a little bit of dyne. They love dyne. When you start drenching one, you have to force it down them, but after about 3 days of that dyne in there, you could lead them into the trailer with that drench gun.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They kind of look, and we like to do it. As soon as we got them in the stall, tie them up and give them their drench, they look forward to going into the stall.
Right.
Kind of helped with that, trying to drag them into the stall. They wanted that drench.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, I mixed the Superflex with water and some dyne. And, mm-hmm. and then if there's anything else you need to give them, from now on, once you've got them trained to that drench, put it in a drench gun and you can give it to them.
Right, right. Makes things a lot easier. Have you ever heard of giving a thiamine? It's supposed to help them convert their feed more efficiently.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. and I think they add it in some of these feeds. You can get it added in there. We never added it, that in, but yeah.
Yeah.
It'll help their gain from what I've read on it.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing I appreciate the most out of getting advice from you is that you stick to the basics. You know, because I mean, there's, if you ever get online and you start looking up show supplements and all this other stuff, I mean, pretty soon you're so lost in, you know, which one to pick or choose, or, I mean, this one costs $300 and this one costs $50. Which one actually works? You know, it can become kind of very complicated. And there, my hat's off to a lot of these companies that are marketing teams are very good, because it almost seems like, not only is it a flex supplement, but by gosh, it can fix the economy too.
Yeah. If you open up that magazine and look through all that stuff and you did everything they said you should be doing, yeah, that'd exceed the cost of the steer and the feed. So, I don't know. And we've tried a lot of different stuff over the years, but, you know, soundness, let me touch on this too. You go to putting them in the cool room. You got this big old fat, you know, towards the end, 1,300-pound steer. And if all he does is lay around, you get him up, wash him out, go put him out on feed. He eats and he goes and lays down. They hurt. I mean, it hurts just to not move. I mean, if you just lay around on the couch for 3 or 4 days, it hurts. I mean, you're not moving your muscles. Your joints are all locked up. We got, later in our career, we got onto an exercise regime, and I think that helped more than anything we did. We'd get those steers up in the morning, go for a walk, maybe a quarter mile in the morning, put them in the, go and rinse them out, work their hair, put them in the cool room. When we went and got them out of the cool room, we went for that walk again. It does heat them up. And so, always worried about the hair on that and the heat. But those cattle loved that walk. I mean, they thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, we had a place where we could walk them out, and they could eat a little bit of grass and let them have just a little bit of grass. But they loved the walk. And what you're doing is you're. I see people go out to the fair, and they've never exercised their steer. They've never stood them up in a chute for, you know, an hour in the morning, hour and a half in the evening. And they're wondering why they're wanting to lay down. Well, they're tired. They're hurt. They're not in shape to do what you're putting them through at the fair. I mean, our cattle were always accustomed to that because they'd been doing it. They were in shape, if you will, to stand in a chute. And it didn't hurt them. And you know, I've seen steers show up out there at the fair perfectly sound, but by the time you get done with the fair, they're crippled. They're hurting. They're not used to standing up that much. Get them out, move them, exercise them. I think that was one of the best things we ever figured out towards the end. You know, that really helped the soundness in those cattle.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that we like to do there at our place is we have, you know, we feed at night. And we've been doing that now for quite a few years. It always just seems like they just eat better at night. So that's what we've always done. We feed them at night and, you know, leave the gates open. And then we have the water kind of on one end of the pasture and hay on the other end. So that way all night long, they kind of do this rotation, you know, kind of back and forth between all of those. And, you know, that helps too, you know. But you can't just rely on just that. I think that exercise is important, you know, taking them for a walk. You know, it's kind of like, have you ever watched that show, My 600-Pound Life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, those people can't walk, like, you know, 2 feet because they don't. They don't move. They're just stationary. And I would say it's the same thing. So those joints get inflamed. And when you have inflammation, you're going to have pain. And they're not going to want to stand. They're not going to want to move to actually help themselves.
Right.
They're just going to want to lay there because it hurts too much to move.
Right.
And then you've got, you know, and it just becomes kind of a snowball effect in terms of problems. So keeping them active and, you know, these are show cattle, but they're still cattle.
Yeah.
And they've still got to be cattle. They've got to move. They've got to get out. They're not, you know, indoor pets. So, you know, even though we're doing all these extra things, it's still good to stay back to those basics that these are still cattle and they have still got to move.
Yeah.
So really, really good advice. On the standing, you know, thing, you can always kind of tell, well, I can say, and I'm not the clipper that you are. We've learned a lot from you. We're working on it, but it's probably the most irritating thing in the world whenever you go to clip on one and they will not hold still because they're, by the time you've gotten to the point where you can clip on them, which means they've been washed, dried, all those things, by the time you get to the point where you're going to start clipping on them, they will not hold still because right. they're tired.
Right.
And it's so irritating
yeah.
and frustrating. But that's not to say, you know, there's been times where you got cattle standing for forever waiting on a clipper and then the clipper shows up and, well, they've been standing for 4 hours already. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're going to move around because they're already tired. But it's just being, you know, efficient with that kind of time and then just making sure you're building that up. I don't know that I'd necessarily haul off and, you know, if you've never tied them up before, I don't know that I'd go out there tomorrow and tie them up for 6 hours.
No, I wouldn't tie tying one up for 6 hours. But, you know, when they're young, when we got them, I mean, we'd tie them up. We'd just go catch them and tie them up. Not even try to lead them. Just go tie them up. Have their head up. You know, they got to getting in shape then. And, you know, just once you start this time of year, you start working. And when you're in the wash rack, tie that head up. You know, you think about it, you know, I see kids struggling to get that head up. Well, it's hard. They're a big old fat animal and they have never held their head up before. You know, if you'll tie them up, that head up, you've got them trained to hold that head up. And then when you're clipping, you want them almost in that show stance. You want that head up so you can see your lines and whatnot. Have them accustomed to it. Have them in shape to do that. They don't fight you. I mean, I remember back when I was a kid showing, I didn't know all this stuff. And we had, you know, steer didn't want to stand. And it's, if you got to go walk a mile or go on a 2 mile walk, if you're not in shape to do it, it's going to hurt. And you ain't going to want to do it again tomorrow.
Right. So, yeah, you're going to be sore too. Yeah.
So get them in shape. You know, if they're, you know, they have personalities just like us. If they're mad out in that show ring, it ain't going to be fun for you.
Right, right. And typically, I mean, the more you work with them, you know, they are very smart.
Yeah.
They know, if they're trained and they're worked with at home, they know that they're going to walk in there and, you know, we're going to walk up to the fence. I'm going to do a rear view. I'm going to stand here.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to walk around some more. And then, oh, we're going to go to the side profile. And I'm going to stick that, I'm going to park myself before the kid even has to do anything. And that's the easiest animal to show is one that shows itself.
Yeah.
And the only way to get to that point, though, is doing it at home.
Yeah.
There's no way to expect that that's going to happen at a show.
Right. And I, you know, a show stick for my kids was just for show. I mean, other than maybe loining one, or if you had one that kind of wanted to drop his back a little bit, you don't need it on the feet. If you do your homework, you don't need a show stick to set their feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You practice that, practice that, practice that. One trick we did, we made them set up before we let them go at night to go eat. And by golly, I don't care how many times they didn't set up, they didn't get to go eat. And after a few days, they just stuck. And all we had to do was pop that halter and they just got set.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, do the hard work at home so that way the yeah. fare is actually easy.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be kind of the easy part.
Yeah.
So, before we end, a little bit about feet trimming. About how long, or how often, I guess, should people be trimming on feet?
You know, there's a lot of different ideas out there. I think they need it at least twice, probably three. And there's some steers out there that we had that I did probably five times. It's all dependent upon the feet.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to turn one over and trim their feet. It's hard on them. But, you know, those heels grow out, especially on those hind legs, and you get them to pop in on those pasterns. And if you'll keep that war down, if you'll keep that trim down, it will really help their soundness. I've talked to a lot of different people. I never like to take any off the wall. I don't want to shorten up the toes. I want them toes long, but I want that heel down. And if you'll start with them young, you can straighten out some problems. If you got a hind leg that's kind of bowing out, you can fix that. It may take four trimmings, but you can keep that fixed. You know, at this point in time, we're in April. You know, you're not going to fix any problem. It's too late. Just trim them. In fact, Kirk Steerwalt even told me, he said, do not, you know, after they get up to this size, do not try to straighten. If they got something wrong, leave it alone. You're just going to hurt them. And I think that was good advice. If you look at a cow out on the rangeland, go look at her feet. She's really, really low heeled.
That's a good point.
That's natural. But we got these animals in a corral, it's soft, got them in a cool room. That heel grows, and it grows fast. It grows fast for a reason, because they're wearing that out under a natural situation. Mm-hmm. I like to keep them down. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting some of these genetics now. The last year, we had one of those steers that his front toes grew together. And by golly, I trimmed him, I bet, five times. Mm-hmm. And the last time was a couple weeks before the fair, and I never like to turn one over that late, but it was starting to affect him. It hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're growing into each other, and it hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And I trimmed him, and just right away, he was fine.
Feeling better.
One thing about trimming feet, I see a lot of these guys grind until they find blood, and they say, okay, we got him. I never wanted to hit blood. I always tried to keep from hitting blood.
Right.
You're going to sore them up, hurt them. I didn't like to do it. And maybe that's why I had to trim feet more often, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think I have that same mentality. I mean, you trim a lot more feet than I do. I don't like to trim feet. But I didn't ever like to get down to blood either. It just seemed like that's a little too far. And then you also risk, you know, like you can get some infection in there.
Yeah.
If you hit blood, then you turn them out into a mud hole.
Yeah.
You know, there's a chance they can get some infection type stuff going on. If you've got, you know, and I don't know whether this is good or bad, but I can tell you this, I could probably get away, honestly, at our place with hardly ever trimming feet. And it's just because I live on a rock pile.
Yeah.
So there's a section of our turnout that it's literally rocks. And for whatever reason, it keeps those feet short, you know. But so if you've got a place where you've got, you know, a little bit of rock, it may not be a bad idea every now and then to turn them out in there just to let them kind of, you know, wear that down on their own. But that's not everybody's situation.
Right. Most people don't have that. And these cattle, I mean, I've noticed over the years, their feet are just getting worse and worse and worse. They need some care and attention. I mean, the genetics in them, they make them pretty, they make them thick, they make them stout, but they're ruining the feet. They're inbreeding, line breeding these cattle, and there's some things.
It's line breeding when it works. It's inbreeding when it doesn't.
Well, the feet are going, they're just horrible on these cattle. If you get a good footed one, it's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the question, the biggest question that I always have is, because I get asked this a lot, or I feel like I correct it a lot, but then I realize that for every time I say it, somebody else says it to do it the other way. So I like to, when I'm blowing cattle dry, front to back.
Yep.
But there's a lot of people that like to go back to front. So is it front to back or back to front?
It's front to back.
Front to back.
When you're breaking that hair, you want to comb everything straight forward to begin with. Once you get enough hair and it's broke, you can start going up with it or three quarters up, but you blow them out from front to back. And it doesn't make sense in that you're blowing water onto that area you just dried out. But I can assure you, you combed it forward and you want to blow it forward from front to back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and spend some time blowing. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to go over that again.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned earlier, get them dry. Get them as dry as you can get them. You know, And the, going into the cool room, I wasn't so, in the mornings, I wasn't so particular about it. But at night, I really wanted them dry. I wanted that skin to be able to breathe and feel the coolness of the night and, mm-hmm. and grow some hair. Mm-hmm. And if you got wet hair, they go lay down, it mats it up, messes up your, you're defeating the purpose of breaking that hair. So yeah. Front to back. The tail head, you know, you get to the side on each side of it and blow it just straight up. Everywhere else, front to back, straight forward.
Yeah. I actually learned that from the Hereford guys. Because that curly hair, they told me, go front to back because it helps straighten that hair out better rather than going from back to front. And yes, you're right. You're blowing, you know, you're still going to have wet going on where you just dried. But it's on top. It's not underneath, it's on top, so it's easier to come out.
Right.
You know, and you can shorten some of that stuff up with, you know, running fans at the same time. Yeah. Get you a couple of fans going and blow and run those fans all at the same time. That's going to help. Or, you know, if you're done, if you think they're dry, still put them under fans for about, you know, 30, 40 minutes, an hour, something like that. And then you know for sure, you know, that they're dry. And I'd agree with you on that deal at night, because fungal type stuff loves dark, loves moist, loves hot.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not necessarily hot necessarily at night around here, but it's warm enough that you can get some some fungal type stuff that goes on. And so making sure they're dry at night, I think is a big, big thing.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think that's all I've got. If you've got anything else you want to add.
I think the only thing I'd add is, you know, you're going to get out of this project what you put into it, so.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I completely agree with that. We talk about that a lot around here at the office, or, you know, with families and stuff. You know, you can go buy, I mean, if you have the money, you can go buy, you know, cattle for whatever price you want to, or show animals really in general. You can pay whatever you want to for them.
Yeah.
But I see more good animals that were, they spent some money on them, that are wrecked.
Right.
Due to the fact that they don't get worked. They don't get fed right.
Yeah.
You know, I told somebody the other day that I think 75% of the competition's beat on the everyday small things that get done. They're the kids that are out there working all the time doing all those little small things that seem small turn into huge things. And 75% of the competition's already beat before they even get to the show.
Right.
You know, so that's,
you know,
good.
The cheapest steer we ever bought, and I won't say the cheapest, but we paid $1,800 and won the New Mexico State Fair with him.
Yeah.
But it was because we put the work into that calf. I mean, we got lucky, but we put the work into him too.
Mm-hmm.
But you can upgrade a steer that doesn't have all the attributes with work.
Mm-hmm.
Feeding, work, hair. I mean, the hair, you're growing hair to basically cover up, you know, the problems with that steer. And
sure,
you
sure.
Clip around that and make him look better. And you can make a pretty sorry steer look pretty darn good with enough hair.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thought process. You know, you'll hear people saying, well, that's, you know, that's not real life and we should just, you know, go to the slick shear thing. But I don't think people understand the slick shear process either. That is actually probably more work in that slick shear thing than there is on this hair deal.
And you won't have the opportunity to beat, you know, an expensive steer with hair.
Yeah. So I think that, that's all very good advice. And yeah, you don't have to have a $70,000 calf or whatever. Just, you know, you gotta have something good, and then you gotta work at it every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
So.
Work. If you know, when you start in the cool room, my family, we never left. I mean, maybe skip one night every now and then, but for the most part, now it's because it's popping lightning and, you know, we were all going to get killed by a lightning bolt and it raining and, you know, you can't dry one out when it's raining. So, but other than that, I mean, put the work into it. It, you know, and I, I don't care what anybody says. This kid's project, according to what we all say, but it's a family project. I mean,
yep.
You got a kid out there with two steers, three steers. Mom and dad's got to help. I mean, mm-hmm. and you got two kids, they team up and they get it done. I mean, it that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's one of the special things about this is that, you know, I am a big, big fan of the show Animal World just because, like, this is a family type thing. So you spend more time together as a family, you know, working towards a goal. Whereas, I mean, and I'm not against sports or anything. I love sports. I played sports. But, you know, I can sit and watch the basketball game, but I didn't have any part in that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just sitting in the stands cheering them on, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Whereas these animals, you know, the whole family kind of can play a part. You know, everybody has a specific role, you know, even all the way down to snack moms.
Yeah.
Snack moms are important to bring the snacks because we all got to eat. And, you know, just you got, you know, family members that, you know, come to do hair on the kid and get them dressed and all this other stuff. I mean, it's a whole family that takes, you know, to get this project from beginning to end. And I think that that's just something special and different.
Right. So women know hair. Women know things about hair. My wife knew a lot of things about hair, and she came up with a lot of things that helped us get mom out there. I mean, dad, you know, can do the muscle stuff, but moms know hair.
Yes.
And yeah, it just works better if everybody's involved and everybody's working at it. And you're right, we spent more time with our kids showing than anything. What are they going to do if you're not out there working on steers? They're in the room playing on their video game and you're watching TV. And I think the best times we had were out there at the steer barn by bar none. So.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. I always like to ask this one, barn fights. I always hear, well, you know, if you're all fighting, then it's not fun. And I'm like, well, fighting's kind of part of it.
Yep.
I mean, it is.
We had them. We did them. We got over it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of lessons learned, including myself learned a lot out there. You know what? And that's life. This project's about preparing these kids for life. I mean, it's the work. It's the financial part of it. And you know what? You're going to have disagreements. And when they get out of school and go into college or work, wherever they end up, they're prepared for life because of this program.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I'd much rather take on a kid that's had to train an animal. And one of the hardest things about that is that animal has a different brain.
Yeah.
They have a whole different set of priorities for the day than maybe we do.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. And I think that the youth that show livestock, those are the type of youth that you want working for you, or you know, those are going to be the kids that are out there that are, they know how to work, so they know how to make a living for themselves and their families. So I stand behind this program 100%. You're the Fair Board president, and we got a Fair Board meeting, so we're going to wrap it up.
Do.
Yeah. So I appreciate you being on here.
Sure.
And sharing all the things that you do and you've done. Like I said, I know it's helped my family immensely. So.
Well, good luck to everybody out there.
We'll see you at the fair. You got about 180 days or so coming up.
Yeah, I'll be here before you know it.
Thanks everyone for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever app you're using to listen to this podcast. Want more information? You can visit us at our website, grantextension.nmsu.edu. Follow us on Facebook at NMSU Grant County CES, Snapchat at Grant County NM4H. Shoot us an email at grant@nmsu.edu or give us a call 575-388-1559. Did you enjoy this podcast?
Did you learn something? Did you gain knowledge that you can use? Please feel free to reach out to me and let me know. I'm always looking for feedback on what I can do better or topics that I can discuss. So please give me an email at grant@nmsu.edu. New Mexico State University is an equal opportunity, affirmative action employer and educator, NMSU and the U.S. Department of Agriculture cooperating.